The theme this week is waiting, and I was wondering if you like waiting. You probably don't. We live in a world where we want things to be instant. Amazon means we don't have to wait long for things to be delivered. Credit means we don't have to save up to afford things. We used to getting what we want when we choose, and we don't like waiting. Waiting for Christmas, waiting in the supermarket queue, waiting for an operation, waiting to get married. When we were waiting to get married, it was very difficult, and Roger's car, on the back of the sun visor, there were little sticky spots. I don't know how many they started with, hundreds it seemed, and each day one of those spots came off so we could count down until the day we got married. It was hard waiting. We wait for news. We wait for a bus or a train. We wait for vaccinations. We wait for haircuts. I've had a go at mine, but I had an appointment for tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, but it's been put off till Wednesday. But I've been waiting months for a haircut. We're in a time of waiting. We're waiting for life to return to normal. We often say, I can't wait for a holiday or Christmas or whatever, and yet we do wait because we have to. We can't hurry up time, and usually there's nothing else we can do but wait. David, who wrote Psalm 40, knew a lot about waiting. He longed for God to come and rescue him. He said, come quickly, Lord, and help me. For David, waiting was hard. He was waiting to become king. Whilst Saul was king, God chose David to be the next king because David, the Bible tells us, was a man after God's own heart. David was anointed by Samuel and then he waited. It's not possible to tell exactly how long David waited, but it was a long time. And David was presented with a number of opportunities to shorten that time of waiting. After David had killed Goliath, Saul kept David with him. And whatever Saul asked him to do, David did successfully. He did things in the palace. He went out and fought battles. And he was really popular. And Saul became jealous of David's popularity, and he tried to kill him. So eventually David had to go on the run. And whilst on the run, David had at least two opportunities to kill Saul, who was still trying to kill him. But instead, David waited for God to promote and vindicate him. Waiting for God to help us isn't easy. But Psalm 40 tells us of some of the benefits that David received from waiting on God. It tells us that God lifted him out of despair. I don't know how you're feeling today. Maybe your hopes for the future have been dashed. Maybe you feel nothing will ever come right. But if you need to be lifted from despair, then wait on God. He will do that for you. God set David's feet on solid ground. I don't know whether you've ever been in an earthquake, but if you have, you'll know how disturbing it is to feel the ground under your feet move. The things that you believe are solid shake. This last year has shaken our faith in ordinary, everyday things that we felt were reliable and trustworthy. And I wonder if you feel at the moment everything in your life, everything that you felt was solid and dependable, is shifting. Walking in sand or mud is always very difficult. It's hard work. It requires a lot more effort than walking on solid ground. But God set David's feet on solid ground, and if you want that, wait on God. Then it says God steadied David as he walked. You can imagine walking on a narrow ledge. I would be hopeless at this, but I would just wobble, I would be looking down all the time. Now imagine that if you're walking along that ledge and your hand is being held, that you're being steadied as you wobble. And that's what God wants to do for each one of us. to steady us as we navigate through life. And then David writes that God put a new song of praise in his mouth. Eventually God acted. David was vindicated. The promise did come true and David became king. Often blessings can't be received unless we go through the trial of waiting. And David waited well for God to act. He didn't take things into his own hands. And I wonder how well we wait for God to rescue us. In the church calendar, between Easter and Pentecost is a time of waiting. So Pentecost isn't till May the 23rd. For the first disciples, initially, the risen Jesus was physically with them. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he told them, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So how did the disciples wait? A few days. To me, I don't know how long it is to you, but for me a few days is 3 or maybe 4. But after 4 days, nothing had happened for the disciples. And I just wonder if they felt a bit abandoned after Jesus had gone into heaven. I wonder what they thought they were waiting for. Just hard. So whilst they were waiting, they decided to do something. Peter was the one who started it. He was always the activist, always impetuous. He was the one who stepped out of the boat onto the water. And Peter was the one who said, "It's written in the book of Psalms, may another take his place of leadership." And so they chose Matthias as an apostle, someone to replace Judas. We never hear about Matthias again. And over time, it became clear that it was Paul that was God's choice, not Matthias. And, you know, I just think we're so often like those first disciples. We need to do something, even if it's in our own strength. We struggle just to wait for God to act. But eventually, after 9 days, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church was born. So how had the disciples waited? Well, partly they waited well. They prayed together. They stayed together. They supported each other. And that's always a good way to wait. But they also interfered with what God had planned. Another person who was tempted to sort things out for himself was Abraham. God had promised that he would have a son to be his heir. But waiting was difficult and went on for years. And after some time, Sarah persuaded Abraham to sleep with Hagar, her servant, who became pregnant with Ishmael. And that caused no end of problems. And it wasn't until years later, when Abraham and Sarah were 99 years old, that she became pregnant with Isaac, the son that God had promised. Not sure whether we think Abraham waited well or not, but Hebrews records that Abraham waited patiently and receive what God has promised. Because God's promises don't always come to pass when we think that they should. And what do we do when God isn't on time? Isn't on our time? Do we try and make things happen? Do we do God's job for him? Or do we wait patiently? There must be something in the genes, because Abraham's grandson, Jacob, interesting person. By deception, he stole his brother Esau's birthright and blessing, and then he had to run away as Esau planned to kill him. He went to stay with his uncle Laban, and there he fell in love with Laban's daughter, Rachel. In order to have Rachel as his wife, Jacob was prepared to wait and work for Laban for 7 years. Unfortunately for Jacob, Laban cheated him, and Jacob ended up married to Leah, Laban's older daughter. But Jacob wasn't put off, and he waited and worked another 7 years in order to marry Rachel. So on the one hand, Jacob was prepared to cheat his brother, and on the other, he was prepared to wait patiently for the woman he loved. And then Joseph waited. He had dreams of being in charge, real dreams that God had given him, of his family bowing down before him. But what happened when he shared those dreams with his brothers was that they sold him as a slave. Through many trials, Joseph had to wait to be vindicated and to see the fulfillment of his dreams. When his brothers eventually bowed before him, Joseph was gracious. He had waited years for the fulfillment of his dreams and for justice. And through it all, he had trusted God. He said, "What you intended for evil, God intended for good." How do we act when things go wrong? If we think we're going to be promoted or receive an accolade, but instead someone else gets the credit for our ideas, or we don't get promoted, or we even get made redundant, how do we react? Paul wrote to the Romans, "Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you're honourable. Never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord." So we don't need to take revenge, to get our own back, to struggle to succeed by trampling on others. When you have to wait for justice, remember that God is on your side and he will deal with any who have harmed you. The last example I want to pick is the death of Lazarus. When Lazarus was sick, Mary and Martha sent a message to Jesus. They told him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." But Jesus didn't rush to help. He knew the end from the beginning. And so although Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. That Jesus should have shown up sooner. How like us. When things go wrong, we assume God isn't with us. Or we blame him. But Jesus loved Martha, Mary and Lazarus. He remained away for their good. Their faith was changed and grew as a result of the incident. And God loves you. He loves each one of us. And when you're waiting for him, when we are waiting for him, we needn't despair. We can tell him how we feel and we can do our best to wait patiently. Sometimes we need to do something. Sometimes it's right to do something, but just waiting is the hardest thing to do. I spoke earlier about my hair. Roger has been colouring it for me, but it's grown very long since the last time my hairdresser had a look at it. And I have had to cut the fringe, and Brian will look at it and throw his hands up in horror, I'm sure. But in order to see, I had to do that. But I didn't attempt to do the rest because it's something that's best done by a hairdresser. So we shouldn't attempt to sort out things that are God's to do. But we can trust him to lift us out of the pit of despair, to set our feet on solid ground and to steady us as we walk along. And eventually he will give us a new song to sing. Can I just pray, Brian? Is that okay? Father, we come to you in our weakness, in the situations that we are struggling with, and we ask that you will come and rescue us. We long for you to rescue us quickly, Lord. But if you don't, we ask that you will help us to wait patiently on you, to allow you